I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Think China, and you likely think Beijing. Why not? The sprawling capital city is the heart of central China. But picture a map of the United States and lay it over a map of China. There's an awful lot beyond Washington and New York. China beyond Beijing is a pretty varied place, too. There are vast barren plains, austere mountains, and tropical rice paddies. The people are just as diverse, and so is the food. Naomi Duguid and Jeffrey Alford have traversed the region and tasted the food. They've just released a book called Beyond the Great Wall, Recipes and Travels in the Other China. Jeffrey Alford says China is changing as Han Chinese move further west. And that's one of the reasons the couple wanted to capture the most remote parts of China, as those parts are right now.
In this region, you have a great diversity of culture, and that culture is, to some extent, being threatened. And so food is one of those ways in to culture, of understanding culture and also of preserving culture.
Whatever food people eat in these regions well beyond the Great Wall of China, well off to the west, the foods are affected by climate and terrain and access to water and access to fuel.
Well, yeah, you know, if you think about in a pre-industrial place, people know a lot more about where their food comes from because it comes from a local place, most of it.
Many parts of Western Tibet, it's too high to even cook. So nomadic people keep herds, and they have milk from the herds, and they make cheese from the milk. It's a very simple diet.
And there's also meat from the herds. We met a herding family when we were in Western Tibet, and they invited us in, and the haunch of lamb was passed around. It was quite lightweight because it had dried, and you sliced yourself off a piece. Like, very exclusive kind of prosciutto is how I thought of it. The knife technique was interesting.
Naomi, what was that technique?
Well, it's going to pull it towards you, trying to get a thin slice. So I watched the nomad, our host, do it. And I thought, okay, if I just sort of copy this gesture, will this work? And it did.
And I noticed in the book there's also a salsa recipe or sort of a chutney coming from the Indian influence just south of Tibet.
Yeah, there are people who fled in 1959 when the Dalai Lama fled. A large population fled to Nepal. Some of them fled to India. Some of them have come back. And those people coming back have, of course, been influenced by their time away. So that was interesting to me that on a recent trip to Lhasa to find some flavors that had come up from the subcontinent. But there's also a fabulous salsa tradition in southern Yunnan.
For Yunnan, let's think of Texas. But to think of Texas with really high mountains and really deep valleys. So people have been relatively isolated by their environment in this region because of these mountains.
So the cultures are distinct one from the other. Yunnan is the place that oolong tea comes from, and it's perhaps the origin of the tree.
There's pineapple and bananas down in this region. Food-wise, we think we're seeing Thai food sort of 50 or 100 years ago. This part of China dips down towards Laos and Vietnam and Burma. So we're really talking Southeast Asian culture. Every house has a fish pond out front.
What kind of fish?
It's a kind of a catfish.
And there's perch or sunfish, you know, the kind of fish you'd catch on a hook when you're a kid with a hook without a barb, you know, those little guys. And then they put them on a grill, maybe stuff them with a little coriander leaf. And the grill is used to flavor ingredients before they're turned into a salsa. It's very delicious and very accessible.
And what influences it, aside from its proximity to Thailand, what influences the food there in that part of China?
Well, the influences are that it's a subtropical climate. So they're eating rice and sticky rice, and they have all sorts of fresh fruits and vegetables and leafy greens. And so there's uncooked, and then there's salads that are sort of barely cooked ingredients tossed together with a little, you know, lime juice and salt. And, you know, what could be bad? And my mouth is watering talking about it.
So if many Chinese, Han Chinese, are going there, is that changing the food that's available?
Absolutely. And you have a railway, so you've had a large migration of people from the east. And wherever Han Chinese go, they're remarkable in terms of getting green vegetables going. We almost never go a day anywhere in China where we don't have a stir-fried green vegetable. And that's Han Chinese influence. But another railway has just gone in to Lhasa. And so what everyone expects is that same migration of Han Chinese will come into Lhasa as they already have. That's one of the concerns with the railway, is that so many Han Chinese will come in that you'll have a culture just sort of being steamrolled a bit.
And a little bit drowned out.
And did you find that these cultures, are they that vulnerable to that kind of change?
Absolutely. what's happening now is unprecedented.
And so that has an effect on everything. And of course, with current political disputes, I mean, there's closed circuit television in the old city in Lhasa. And it's sort of an odd thing to be sitting, as I was, by the Jokhang Temple and seeing closed circuit TV cameras as people are prostrating and praying.
When you arrive in a spot, especially a place that doesn't have a lot of tourism, how did you even say, look, here's what we're doing, here's what we want to taste test, and show us how?
We don't ever go and ask people for their recipes, and we don't say, oh, we're working on this book. We just travel as tourists and poke around and hang around and drink some tea and watch people cook and take photographs. They think it's sort of goofy.
How do you get the recipes then?
We figure them out. Yeah.
Well, I mean, for example, in that region, the bread is made in a tandoor oven. And so when we get home, people don't have a tandoor oven in their kitchen here. So we're always approximating or trying to figure out how we can make as close to that as possible.
Is there one recipe that you have a really good story for?
What comes to mind immediately for me is I got to spend time with Kazakh people for the first time ever, way up on the Siberian border. If you think of northern Washington state, what I was looking for were these, there are also a small population of Tuvan people. I got these Kazakh people to take me in by motorbike, because I can't ride a horse, into this area where there's the Tuvan villages. Along the way, we would stop in Kazakh yurts. I was with a guy, and we stopped in at his sister's yurt, and she was cooking. And so she had a big goat, shank. She was boiling the goat shank, and then she made a dough with flour and water and egg, and then she made noodles by hand. And then she takes the shank out and has the noodles and then throws them in and cooks them in the broth.
Mm.
And then she serves them on a big platter. It was the first time I'd ever eaten noodles communally from a big bowl. And she cut a big white onion on top of the noodles. We would drink the broth like tea. It was just fabulous and so simple.
We make those noodles at home quite a lot because actually you sort of hand pull them. So it's not about the perfect noodle and the pasta machine and all that nonsense. We get our kids, or if we have friends over, we say, oh, just 5 minutes to help stretch the noodles, and we all stretch the noodles. And that's the other thing about the food in all these regions. They may be far away, and we may have to describe them on a map, but actually the food itself is very simple and accessible and very satisfying.
Naomi Duguid and Jeffrey Alford are the authors of Beyond the Great Wall, Recipes and Travels in the Other China. You can check out some of the recipes and their gorgeous photographs at theworld.org. Tomorrow we're going to be hearing more about China. We'll introduce you to singer and self-appointed cultural ambassador Sa Dingding.
The most important thing for me as a musician is to introduce more Chinese culture to the Western people and to be the bridge of the Western people and the Chinese people.
We'll hear Sa Dingding's story and her music tomorrow on The World. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios, I'm Lisa Mullins. Thanks for tuning in.